This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Worship is the offering of your body to the Lord. The spiritual service of worship is the offering.
Well, worship is what we do when we see who God is. Of course, we're only ever going to see a little glimpse of that. But the greatest revelation is in Jesus Christ. And the more we see of him, the more it evokes worship and draws out really what we're created for, to love God.
Worship is overcoming that which prevents us from giving glory to God, which is exactly what he made us to do.
To me, I think worship is just living for something more than yourself.
To me, it's like an opening of your hands, an opening of your heart.
Yeah, everyone worships something, or we worship someone.
I think worship is embracing what God has done for you and offering it back.
Recognizing that God is greater than I am.
Doing whatever it is you're created for and kind of discovering that purpose in your life. Doing it to the best of your ability.
It's not really something you do, more like something that you are.
Maybe that is music, but I don't think it is specific to music.
I think worship is a way of life.
It could be art or accounting or whatever it is. I think living in that out daily and doing it the best you can unto the Lord.
Worship is the orientation of yourself to something else. And hence, Christian worship is the orientation of yourself to God.
To me, I think worship is just your day-to-day walk in everything you do, whatever your job is, just doing it unto God.
Worship to me is about sacrifice. It's about giving a life to God. It's about obedience.
It's a connection with God and kind of doing the things that honors him, you know.
Worship to me is giving God his worth, and I believe he's worthy. So therefore, it leads to an abandoned lifestyle to worship him. He's the focus of everything.
Just something that shows a human connection that actually goes up to God, I think, and God can see it as pleasing.
I think worship is the response of the heart and the mind and the spirit to God's amazing revelation of who Jesus is.
We sing songs, recognize that we're singing about him. When we write songs, we are writing songs about him.
Worship can either be a very big subject or a very small one. I think for me, I always remember Colossians 3:23, which says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men."
Worship songs are songs that point towards him. Worship life, a life that points towards him.
Whatever it is we're doing, we do it for God, and that's worship.
That's what I think worship is all about.
Sorry, Roman. Good morning. Good morning. When was the last time that you made a journey and you reached your destination without really realizing how you got there? To me, this happens on a regular basis, usually on my commute to work, where autopilot kicks in and I get to work and I can't even remember the junctions and the crossings that I've made along the way. Sometimes the impact of this is minimal. In fact, it can feel quite nice to seamlessly roll out of my bed into my office. However, sometimes that can have a consequence. Maybe you might miss the beautiful sunset or the sunrise or a rainbow on the horizon. Maybe you might miss a speed camera. Or maybe, like myself, you might forget to pick up a work colleague and leave her standing in the pouring rain. That was Jen Sadler. I apologize, Jen, if you're listening on catch-up. It's often quoted that the journey is more important or as equally as important as the destination. Therefore, my question this morning is, are we fully aware of the journey that we enter into when we come to praise God, when we come into God's presence? Or are we so focused on the destination that we miss the beauty and the point of the journey in itself? This morning's talk is called How and Why We Worship the Way We Worship on Sundays. I called it this not because I thought it was a fantastic mouthful and it didn't have a nice catchy title that David usually likes us to have, but it also strikes me that when we come on a Sunday and we sing some songs, we're not always fully aware of the journey, the process that we go on as we do that. Likewise, sometimes we seem to get our priorities completely wrong, and our focus is so on the end result of worship that we entirely miss the point of worship in the first place. In the Vineyard, worship is a key part of our identity. It's one of our core values, and it's integral to everything we do. And when you look back over the last 30 to 40 years of worship, Vineyard worship has had a profound impact on churches across the globe. As it said in the video there, we've been designed for worship. And if we don't worship God, we will worship someone or something else. In its simplest form, worship is defined as simply giving love to God. Worship is something that we do with our lives and can take many guises, from the silent prayer to art and crafts to music, dance, if it's what floats your boat, financial giving, reach out. The list could go on. However, for us collectively in the Vineyard movement, worship and musical worship holds a high value. And whilst our style of music may no longer be distinctive, our underlying values of worship give it distinctiveness. The ultimate goal of our worship is to find and be in an intimate place with God. For me personally, and for many of you here, worship is a key part of that relationship with God and has been over many years. More often than not, it's the vehicle that takes us into that place of intimacy, where God can then pour out his gifts of healing and prophecy and forgiveness, amongst others. Throughout my journey following Christ, worship has been incredibly important to me as an individual. It's a key way that I connect with God. I remember as a child sitting next to my father who would just be practicing to lead worship in small group. And I'd sit there and I'd pat on his guitar case as he would strum his guitar. Then as a teenager, I remember teaching myself basic guitar chords when I should have been revising for exams, but in order so that I could too worship in that way. I connected with worship, and the more I did it personally, the more I did it in my own room, the more my understanding of God and Jesus developed. During my first year of university, I remember living in some halls, and it was a really difficult place for me, and I found it was through worship in my room that, even if it was just me kind of not even singing massively out loud, but just listening maybe through headphones or just strumming my guitar quietly, but it was through worship that I felt God would provide his protective presence when I felt threatened through the behavior of those that were under the influence of hardcore drugs. But worship has not always been easy for me. When losing our first child to a miscarriage, all I could do was weep. All I could do, as I tried to sing songs to and about Jesus, I just wept. Yet, weeks later, it was through worship that God restored the hope in my heart, and he healed me of that pain. Whether it's been a good or bad time in my life, worship has been an integral part of how I connect with God. It's where God does most of his work. And even if the world is falling apart around me, it doesn't take away the need for me to worship. It doesn't take away the need for me to come to my Creator and to praise him, even in a broken state. And not surprisingly, when I stop doing it, when I stop going into that personal time of worship, when I put my priorities more about my needs from God rather than worshiping who God is, my relationship with Jesus just unravels. It's not by chance, therefore, that the journey that we go on in our sung worship is one that is planned out really carefully by our worship leaders. Not only is it helpful to understand why and how God, why and how we worship God, but it's also important to understand what happens when we worship God. Why don't you join me by just opening your Bibles? We're going to look at a psalm, and in particular Psalm 95. So the book of Psalms, you'll find it about halfway in the Bible. And it's basically a series of poems, laments, and songs of worship from the Old Testament. In essence, it was one of the first hymn books. Okay, and, you know, if you know Songs of Fellowships or Mission Praise or whatever you grew up on, it was effectively that for thousands of years ago. And it actually still, if you listen to a lot of our modern worship songs, you can compare the lyrics to what happens in the book of Psalms. And that the book of Psalms forms the inspiration for a lot of our modern worship songs. We're going to go from Psalm 95, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 7. So Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and he made it. For he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. In the vineyard, we see five basic phases of worship through which worship leaders will attempt to lead us as we come together on a Sunday or in a small group. They're often referred to as what we call the phases of the heart. I don't particularly like that terminology that much, but so we're just going to call it phases for this morning, okay? But to understanding these phases is quite important in understanding our experience of God. And as we go through it, just keep in mind that these phases are headed towards that one goal, that one aim, which is intimacy with God. Along the way, I'm going to play a couple of snippets of songs just to illustrate kind of the songs that we'd sing at each stage. And whilst we don't enforce a strict liturgy in our worship, it does give you a sense of what the worship leader and the worship team are trying to do, to take us through these phases into a place of intimacy. And while every worship song does not necessarily have to follow a script, it is important to take note of the journey that we go on. So the first stage is what we call the call to worship. The call to worship, which is essentially directing a message towards the people, towards us as a congregation. And it might be accomplished through songs such as Bless His Name or the one we're going to hear from You. Let's hope this works. The underlying thought here is, let's do this. Let's worship now. This is quite important because when we come on a Sunday, we're not all in a great place. And these songs are trying to signpost us to what we're here to do, to worship. The call to worship also might reflect what's been happening in the community and the individuals within it. And this is where we bring our stuff and we say, whatever it might be, it's now worship. And the psalmist describes this as coming with joy to the Lord. I don't know if it always is with joy, perhaps, but it's certainly coming to the Lord. And it puts our focus purely on God. And in the first verse, it emphasizes twice that we sing to the Lord. And then again, to the rock of our salvation. Our worship here is purely focused towards God. as we move out of that call to worship, we then go into the engagement stage, okay? The engagement stage. Now, I love how the psalmist describes this as coming with thanksgiving and then extolling, or that could be enthusiastically praising him with music and song. I don't know how, if I'm always that enthusiastic on a Sunday morning. Perhaps I should be more. The Message Bible puts it as lifting the rafters with our hymns. This engagement stage is integral to establishing a healthy relationship with God. It says that God is God, an awe-inspiring, beautiful creator, and that I am his humble servant. Verses 3 and 4 draw our attention to the greatness of God, the King above all gods. The depths of the earth and the mountain peaks all belong to him. It says that he is mighty and worthy to be worshipped. It says that the whole thing of worship is about giving to God, not receiving a presence or experiences from him. And that worship is a response to who he is. The heart of worship is that we long to be in this place of intimacy, but also that God, into this intimate place with our Creator. And we praise God, therefore, for who he is. We often find that being in God's presence might excite our hearts and our minds. Hopefully it would. We want to praise him for what he has done and for what and for his character and his attributes. Worship is to God. It's about God. It's for God. Here we might sing songs such as Mighty to Save or Everlasting God, or my personal favorite at the moment, The Lion and the Lamb. Let's just hear a short snippet of that one. These songs are about praise to him. They're praises to him and the wonderful attributes and promises that he has for us. On this, at this stage, we also tend to use the language of we rather than I. And this is part of acknowledging that actually at this point we're joining in with a larger worship, a worship that's taking place throughout heaven for all of time. Engagement with God causes us to reflect on ourselves, becoming aware of our failures, but also our hopes and our dreams. And that can lead us then into a place of confession or celebration or sorrow or joy, depending on where we're at. But it leads us into this place of expression, which is our third phase. Worship that focuses purely on God's attributes and what he has done bears little personal engagement that leaves us at the kind of the shallow end of the relationship, you could say. Deep personal worship should bring us to that place of honest vulnerability and intimate engagement. This requires some form of expression. In preparing for this, I was kind of looking at some of the Greek and Hebrew definitions of worship, and they all talk about an active response. They all talk about a physical and emotional expression that to often prostrate or bow down before the king. Many of our songs, especially during the expression phrase, are directly personal. The expressions expressing our emotions directly to God. This can be quite difficult for some of us. The language of intimacy can be unnatural. It can feel unnatural to have that intimate relationship with God. In the psalm we read this morning, it doesn't really reflect, I think, the level of intimacy we're looking for here. But other psalms do. So in Psalm 108, it describes a personal relationship with God through worship. It says, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul." Here you'll notice a change in language from we and us to I. We might sing songs such as "I Love Your Presence" or "The Stand" or "Saved" is another one we might sing. I love you. Yes, I love you. this engagement and this expression can lead many physical and emotional responses. In our time of worship, we may see tears, or we may see hands raised, or maybe even dancing. And this is appropriate if it's a response to what God is doing. And when we engage with God, he makes his presence known. We expect that God will give us revelation, healing, and prophecy. Only 2 weeks ago, I know of somebody that was healed during worship. And it leads us into our fourth phase, which is called visitation. The visitation now is, this is the byproduct of worship. This is the point where we start to see God doing more and more work, and we start to receive some of those gifts. But we don't worship in order to gain his presence. We worship because he is worthy to be worshipped, whether or not he visits us. But there comes a point often where we sense the Holy Spirit, and where we, in a special way, it might be a weight in the room, or it could be a heavy silence, for example. It may be the personal but acute awareness of him, but it also might be something that everybody's experiencing at the same time. As I said, often people will start to receive maybe healing, or will find themselves maybe weeping, repenting, or simply just having a real sense of God's peace, or of God speaking to them. As I've mentioned a number of times, we worship not in the hope of receiving something, but because he is worthy. Nonetheless, we should expect God to turn up. We should expect God to be present and to move in our time of worship. These final steps, in a lot of ways, is not really about us doing anything. It's about us listening and standing still. We've praised him, and we've done our best to respond to his love and goodness. And now it's time to see what he wants to do. You'll notice that at these times in worship, the worship team might leave space. They might not really sing any songs to distract us, but just maybe play some music quietly and just allow God to do the work in each of us. Visitation is great because it's all about God doing stuff and showing up and affirming the journey that we've already been on. He doesn't want us to worry about the destination because we've been so engaged in the journey from the start. Now he just wants us to listen and enjoy, which leads us to our final stage, the giving of substance. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, said that ministry is a life of giving. What he meant by that is we should expect our worship to be costly. That God may call us to give financially or through time or hospitality or through our love. And this begins out of worship, but should extend to everything else that we do in our life. He said that giving is the natural response to a heart that has been given to. In other words, as we've received God's Holy Spirit, our natural response is to give it out towards others. And that may manifest in a variety of ways, like I've said. The psalm describes that we are made by God and that we are his servants. We are the flock under his care. We are called to express our worship, in the outward giving of others, towards others, sorry. Song selections here might be Surrender, I Surrender All, or I Am Yours.
I'd do anything, I'd go anywhere for you, Jesus, Savior, in light of all you've done for me.
In light of all you've done for me, I lay my life down at your feet. As we come towards the end of our time in worship here, and out that natural place of intimacy and visitation, we start to look forward to how we respond. This is about God, not us. It's about making him the center of our attention, not asking him to focus on us, and it's about therefore giving our whole lives over in worship to him. Therefore, let us worship with him with everything we have. In a moment, we're gonna do it. We're gonna worship. So if Mike and the team want to come back up and start getting ready. Now, I started this morning with a definition of worship, and that was the act of freely giving love to God. Now, the worship time on a Sunday or in small groups, it can be difficult at times. It can have challenging words, maybe an awkward context, imperfect musicians, stylistic choices that we don't like, or maybe a projector or a microphone not working, instruments or voices out of tune. There are many possible distractions in our worship. And that can lead us to an attitude of, I didn't get anything out of worship today. But this misses the point. This type of view purely focuses on the end destination. What did we receive? Rather than the journey of offering praise to him. The worship team's role is to make worship as accessible for us as possible, to the best quality possible, so that we can get as far down these phases as possible relatively easily. And these guys take it really seriously how they do that. However, we have a part to play as well. As fantastic as our worship teams are, we play a much more important part when we're standing in the congregation. Because our role is to worship. Our role is to give to God regardless of what the musicians are doing to help us or even hinder us. The key to great times of worship and the increasing of God's Holy Spirit lies at the hands of a worshiping community, us, and not so much at a small team of musicians. And I would love it if that as a church we became a church that worshiped with all our heart every single week, regardless of the distractions around us. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be great? So let's do this. Let's stand. As I say, we're going to worship. And then at the end, we're going to lead into a time of ministry. As we're doing that, I just really encourage you to just let go of everything that you might have brought this morning and just lay it as we sing before the Lord. So everyone, if we want to stand up, and then we'll worship. We had, I know that the worship team have met a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and they really feel that God is wanting to kind of bless our times of corporate worship, and there's been words and pictures to support that along the way. And so what I really encourage you to do, as I said, is just let everything go, let the distractions go, even let what these guys are doing behind in front of us, just put that to one side and just focus on him right now. And and Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come now. We ask that your Spirit would come and that you would fill this place. And we stand before you now saying we're ready to worship you. You are an absolutely awesome, incredible God that's done amazing things. But we also stand before you as broken people. We stand before you as people that are just desperate for more of you. So we ask that your Spirit would just fill this room. Would you come and bless this time, Lord? Would you come and visit us and release your gifts of the Holy Spirit, Father? We thank you that you are an awesome, powerful God.